This week we're going to be focusing around Luke 15. So if you have your Bibles and want to follow along, that would be lovely. We're just going to sort of dip in and out of it as we go along. Before we start, I've got a little book recommendation, which I'm basically going to say what this says because it's fab. If anyone's heard of Tim Keller, I don't know. Yeah, this is his little book called The Prodigal God. It's very short and easy to read, and you're welcome to borrow my copy with tea stains all over it if you want. But yeah, I'd really recommend that if you want to kind of think about this some more once we finish today. So the last few weeks at True Baptist Church, we've sort of been talking about relationship with God and with other people. But today I want to talk about how we come into relationship with God. So I've titled this message, God Brings the Lost Home, which hopefully will come. There we go, lovely. God Brings the Lost Home. So we're going to look at the three kind of words in colour there. Firstly, brings, then lost, then home, and kind of work out what they mean alongside Luke 15. So Luke 15 has got three parables in it that Jesus tells. It starts off with the parable of the lost sheep, then the parable of the lost coin, and then finally the parable of the prodigal son, which is one that you've probably heard of. So let's look first at how God brings people home. So we'll start off looking at the parable of the lost sheep, which I've called the joy of finding the lost sheep, because one of the commentaries I was looking at used that, and I thought that was a bit of a better title about what it is actually about. So I'll just read this one first. So this is Luke 15, verses 3 to 7. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. So in this translation, which is the ESV, I quite like how it's phrased, because Jesus phrases this as if the most obvious thing to do if you have 99 sheep and one goes missing is to leave the 99 and go and find the one. Now, I don't know a lot about sheep myself, but that didn't really seem like the most logical thing to do, to leave all your sheep in the pursuit of the one. I mean, they didn't have fields like they do now in Cornwall back then, so the sheep are left in the open country, as Jesus said. But I thought I'd ask one of my friends anyway, because he knows a lot about sheep. It's kind of a running joke that he's known for knowing about sheep. If you have a question about sheep, you ask my friend Tim, who's from the Lake District. So I sent Tim a message which said this, just out of the blue. Hello, Tim. I have a question about sheep. In real life, which is all that means, what would a shepherd do if he had 100 sheep and one went missing? So Tim is a Christian, so he got straight away what I was talking about. So he said, well, I'm not a shepherd, so I don't know entirely, but I do know a lot about sheep. I guess you do, Tim. he said, in the modern day, what would happen is you would probably call your neighbour and say, I've lost my sheep. Or you get a call from your neighbour saying that they had found your sheep. But he said, it's very different now to how it was back then. Nowadays, we don't really have people that want to steal sheep or wolves around in the UK. In Jesus' time, though, he said, the shepherd would have been really hopeful to go and look for it because the sheep probably would have been stolen or would have been dead. But still, in this parable, the good shepherd that Jesus suggests what they should do there is he goes out, and despite everything, despite that the sheep is probably stolen or dead, he keeps looking for him. So in each of these parables, there's kind of three steps that happens. The first one, if we look at this one first, is that something is lost. So in this case, it's the sheep. The second thing that happens is the thing that's lost is then found. So the shepherd goes and looks against all odds and he finds the sheep. It's not a special sheep. I feel like that is important to highlight here. It's just the fact that it's lost. The shepherd goes after it and looks high and low and under all the bushes and trees until he finds this sheep. And then when he finds it, the third thing that happens in this parable is that he rejoices. He gathers his friends and he has a party. He doesn't just put the sheep back with the others and sort of grumbles a bit at how it ran away and he wants to get into bed now. He invites everyone round, rejoice with me, I've found my sheep. And the party that he has is about him finding the sheep, because the sheep's not a particularly special sheep. He's just so glad that he's found it. He did something that was potentially very costly to find it, and he did it. So this sequence of events happens in all the parables. So the next one is the parable of the lost coin, or what I've called the joy of finding the lost coin. So I'll read that one to you now. So that's Luke 15, verses 8 to 10. This is the ESV translation again. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost. So again, we see the 3 points there. First of all, does anyone know who this is? Anybody?
Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo, yes. So if you've got Netflix, you will have seen the adverts for this one coming up. Marie Kondo does a show called Tidying Up. she goes into people's houses, often people who are kind of hoarders and stuff like that, and she teaches them how to tidy up. And she asks this question, does it spark joy? So the idea is you go through your stuff and then everything that kind of sparks some kind of joy, you keep. And then you sort everything out. And so I love this show. It's great. And so after I watched it, I decided to tackle the top drawer in my bedroom cabinet, which is a dangerous place to go sometimes. So I did that. And while I was tidying that out, I did find some coins. I found some 20p's and a couple of pennies, which is quite exciting. It's always good to find money, isn't it, unexpectedly? But the point I'm making is that when this woman in the parable was looking for her coin, she wasn't just tidying out her top drawer. She was actively searching for this singular coin, even though she already had 10 others. The coin could have been part of her savings. That's very possible. But I think the important thing is Jesus doesn't tell us that. Again, like the sheep, he doesn't tell us it's a special kind of coin. The only thing we know about the coin is that it is lost and the woman really, really wants to find it. So again, something's lost and something is found after very diligent searching. It's got to be there somewhere, and she searches everywhere for it. And when she finds it, again, she rejoices. She invites all her friends round. And there's a big invitation to share in that woman's joy that she has found the coin. So the third parable is the one you might know best of all. It's usually called the parable of the prodigal son, focusing on the first son that is in the parable. But there are two sons that are told about in this parable, and we often forget the second one. There's an older son who actually stays at home with the father, but we'll come back to him in a bit. So we'll start off looking at the younger son, who is known as the prodigal son. So Tim Keller, in his book, splits this story into two acts. So the first act, I've called, to go along with the other parables there, is the joy of finding the lost son. So we're going to watch a clip of this one, which is lovely acted out, and just see, as we watch it, if you can see the lost, find, rejoice narrative happening in this again.